to know that we're loved by the God of heaven and to be able to feel Him embrace us. The world needs Jesus. And if they could feel the love that God allows us to feel, with that love there is great security. There's this knowing, and I don't mean to sound presumptuous, but I know I'm saved. I know I'm the Lord's. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in the 10th chapter, and God has placed a message upon our heart this morning. Start with verse 19, and it's amazing how God takes everything in Sunday school and everything in the worship service, and maybe if we hear from the Lord correctly, everything ties together, but the writer of Hebrews, and it doesn't matter whether you believe it was Paul or Apollos or someone else, it was inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. That's enough for me. Verse 19 of chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And I want you to notice this next phrase, it's found in parentheses, for He is faithful that promised. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, as we come to You this morning, in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we're here this morning to worship You, Lord, to laud and to praise You for all that You have done for us. Father, thank You that You looked down at mankind and saw how broken we are, how wounded we are, that we needed a Savior. And Lord Jesus, thank You for being willing to go to die on Calvary's cross, to be borrowed in a, or be put in a borrowed tomb, and arose on the third day that we might have hope in You and in You alone. And this is the hope that we have. That, Lord, one day we too are going to a place called heaven. God, I pray this morning, speak to us as only You can. Lord, I pray, forgive me of my sin. Purge me, Lord, of my iniquity. God, hide me behind the cross. And Lord, let Your Spirit speak to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if there's one here today that's never been saved and never trusted You, God, I pray, make the gospel as it is in its purity so simple that they can just come and believe and be saved. God, for those of us that are saved, Lord, we thank You that You're faithful concerning Your promises. And Father, I pray, encourage our faith through the Word of God. And these things we ask in Your name and for our sakes. Amen. And amen. There was a great problem that was going on in the early church. Folks would get saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Jews would come in and they would try to make it more difficult than it was supposed to be. They would bring works back into the picture. And in this book of Hebrews, the writer spends the first several chapters letting us know this, that in the Old Testament they had a high priest. That high priest would go into the Holy of Holies on their behalf. He would go in and make atonement for their sin. But for them to go to God, they had to come through a high priest. In the earlier chapters, the Bible calls him, in the book of Hebrews, it calls him a priest after the order of Melchizedek, speaking of Jesus. Melchizedek was the prince of peace. He was, thank God, he was a peace giver. He was the one who brought Abraham peace. The very first communion you'll find happened between Melchizedek and Abraham. They ate bread and they drank wine and they communed together. And the writer works us into the 9th chapter by telling us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And in the 10th chapter, everything begins to come together. We see this mediator, this moderator of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Him as He is in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He goes on to say, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us. Aren't you glad, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He died on Calvary, and the Bible tells us the temple veil rent in twain from the top to the bottom, signifying that man no more would have to come through a high priest other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that everybody has the ability to come to God through Christ, that God hears us when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. That name of Jesus is more than just a name. Thank God that name Jesus means a deliverer, a savior. Thank God for Jesus this morning. And as He died on Calvary, the Bible said He cried out, "It is finished." And when that temple veil rent in twain from the top to the bottom, God said to mankind, through the blood of My Son, you can have access to the holiest of all, to the holiest place, and the holiest one of all. And thank God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, now we can come to God and have this confidence that when we pray, God hears us. That means whoever we would consider to be the lowliest Christian on the face of the earth, somebody in a third world country that don't know how to read or write, has the same access by the blood of Christ as the most eloquent, educated Bible scholar there is. Thank God, through the cross, the ground was made level. Through the cross, there is no male nor female. Through the cross, what that means is we all have the same access. Now, I appreciate it when you ask me to pray for you, but I want you to know my prayer has no more effect or ability than anybody else who's been saved by the grace of God. As a matter of fact, and I told Debbie this, and I'll say this to George and to Janet and to Barbara and to Barbara and so many of our ladies that have got a little gray or a little white in their hair. Listen, before I would go to some of my brethren, I'm going to go to my mamas in the church that know how to get a hold of the Lord. They've got the same access. I want you to know, listen, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you've been saved and you pray in the name of Jesus, He hears us. I hear the Bible said by a new and living way. In the Old Testament, they would come to the priest and bring their sacrifices. Some of them were poor and couldn't afford nothing but maybe a couple of doves. And that a high priest would offer up that sacrifice for them. But when Jesus died on Calvary, it was a great sacrifice that covered all. It covered all sin. I said all sin. Every sin I committed before I was saved and every sin I'll ever commit. His blood is able to wash the vilest man clean. His blood is able to purge us to the uttermost. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is a new and living way. There was a little girl got saved when she was 8 years old, and she wrote a song, "I'm living in a new world since the Lord saved me." They wrote that song according to her testimony. I want you to know, when you come to know the God of heaven and His forgiveness, it's like living in a whole new world. The Bible goes on to say this, we have a high priest. I want you to know the pastor is not the priest of the house of God. I'm just like you are. Yeah, I've got a place to fulfill and a calling to fulfill, but our high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. But none of this is what God has placed on our heart. Verse 22 and 23, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water of the world. There's a woman by the name of Fanny Crosby. I don't know if you know of this woman. She wrote a song called Blessed Assurance. And listen, this woman, whenever she was about 6 weeks, 6 months old, whenever she was a small infant, she went to a doctor because she had an infection in her eye, and they put the wrong medicine in and they blinded her. And here this woman is, listen, lost her sight, but full of the faith of God. You know what somebody asked her, an unbeliever asked her, said, Fanny, do you feel jilted by God that he took your sight? You know what she said? How could I feel jilted? The first face I'll ever see will be the face of Jesus. She said, it's not enough to have a song on your lip. You better have a song in your heart. And she sat down and wrote Blessed Assurance. Oh, think about that first verse. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Aren't you glad this morning you can say Jesus is yours? He possesses me. And thank God I've got a hold of him. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And does anybody ever now and again get a taste of the glory of God? What do you mean, Russell? I mean, it's when the joy of God is so full in your soul, you're about ready to go home. Oh, this is just a foretaste down here. One day we're going to sit at the table. We're going to eat the whole thing. And it's good that David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Aren't you glad? Oh, for the goodness of God this morning. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Do I have anybody who's an heir of salvation? Have you been saved this morning? Purchase of God. Have you been purchased and bought with a price? Yes, you have. Listen, born of His Spirit. I've been washed in His blood. That's all right, you told it. This is my story. This is our song. Praising our Savior all the day long. This is this is our song. Do you believe that this morning? Boy, y'all done a whole lot better without me. I guarantee you. She sat down and she wrote that song with a friend of hers. Her daddy had died whenever she was a young girl, maybe a year old, raised by her mother and her grandmother. Little old grandma got in there and said, you know what, you may not have your sight, but you're going to know Jesus. Begin to put scripture in her heart. And this is what, one of the greatest songs that we have in our song book, this lady sat down and wrote because she was sure. And I can't help but believe maybe she drew from these verses, having a true heart in full assurance of faith. Listen, I want to tell you, our assurance of faith does not come from who we are and what we're doing. Our assurance comes from who God is and what He has done. And I want to say this morning. I had a good friend of mine, and he worded it like this about being saved. He said, whenever I was a young boy, I felt the conviction of God. I went up and prayed as far and as much as I knew how to pray. He said, that burden left me. He said, Brother Russell, I'm just trusting God with the rest of it. I want to tell you this. God, listen, God's not trying to fool us about whether we're saved or not. Listen, if I know anything about God from the Word of God, the Bible said God is love and He loves us this morning. Full assurance of faith. I know that I'm saved not because of my works. I know that I'm saved not because of what I'm doing for God. I know that I'm saved because I trust in what God has done for me. And by the way, the Word of God said, faithful is He that promised. I want to say this morning. Listen, and again, you know me. You know that I'm a worrying. You know that I'm an anxious man. But I've got a hold of something this week, some change this week. Oh my, I don't know, David, if it's you praying or if it's you, but somebody got a hold of the Lord and the Lord has spoke to my soul. And I'm going to tell you, it's made a difference in my life. It's given me some assurance that not only does He have my future in control eternally, He's got tomorrow. And by the way, He's got my grandchild and my grandchild and my baby girl and my son and my wife and my children in the church. Oh, thank God, one day, son, your time will come and you'll get it just the way we got it. And one day, sweetheart, you'll know it's the Lord and He'll save you just like He has the rest of us. I'm assured of that. I'm going to tell you, those of you that are worried about your children, put them in the hands of God. Turn them over to the His hands are a lot bigger than yours. His hands can reach where yours can't. And I thought about Callie this week and some of our others that are in school, and I can't get to them, but oh, I can talk to one who can. Aren't you glad when we can't, He can this morning? Full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast. Now listen, would you hear me? Those of you that have been saved in the last 3 years, raise your hand. In the last 3 years. Uh-huh, Jackson. Where's my Kinley? There's my Kinley girl. Hey, yeah. Hold on to what you've got. Listen, when you come up out of that altar and you said, and this is good for some of us older folks too, when you come up out of that altar and you had enough confidence in your heart to say, the Lord saved me, hold on to that. Listen, put it in God's hands. When you've done all you could and you prayed through and you talked to the Lord, trust this, He loves you and He's not going to let anything take away what you've got. It's secure in the hands of God this morning. But you got to hold fast to it. Listen, I can talk big all day long in the church house, but when I walk out into a world that don't know God and some of them don't care, I better hold on to what I've got. He goes on to say this, without wavering. All right, now I want you to look at me. Everybody in the house, do I have any waverers in here? See, I'm trying to make eye contact with everybody. You ever like this? You ever one day, oh, I'm strong in the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And 3 days later, God, where you at? I'm going to give this time to sink in. Does God ever change? Is He the unchangeable God? Let me know what changes. Our circumstances change. But my circumstances don't change what God has promised me. Faithful is He that promised Abraham, leave thy kindred, go into a country that I'll show you. And Abraham got up and left everybody behind in search for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham didn't know where he was going. You know what he knew? Now I want you to hear this. Get this. When he got there, God would be there waiting on him. I've come to tell you, if you'll follow the will of God, God will be there waiting on you when you get there. Oh. So many promises that God made in His Word, and men and women believe them, and we have our Bible. It's a book full of promises that God made man. Thousands of promises that God made men and God made women and God made nations that if they would serve Him, He would bless them. Promises that God has made, a book full of them. And I've come to ask you, do you believe this book? If you do, trust the faithfulness of God. You know why it's so hard to trust the faithfulness of God? It's not because we don't have precedence here. Let me say, can you go back and see where God has blessed you? Yeah, let me ask you this. Do you have to go back a long ways? When God told you, I'm going to ask you this. Has God ever told you something would come to pass? Did it? Yeah. Has God ever lied to you? I'm going to say that. Has God ever lied? I'm going to tell you, it is impossible for God to lie. And if God tells you something, you hang on to it and know this, He is faithful. God promised me I'd have a beautiful wife. He didn't say beautiful. I put that in there. Check. And it was so. I can't tell you the nights I went to bed with my Bible on my chest feeling so lonely, saying, Lord, I just need a helpmate. A little girl over in Oconee County. Lord started working on that end, working on this end. And oh, it's been good. God promised us a child. We went through some great disappointment because the first time it didn't work out. My wife got down in the altar and talked to the Lord, and He showed her a blonde-haired, semi-blue eye, got a little green, and a little old girl. There she is. God used a man walking out of a church door to quote a scripture that my wife had read when we were so worried, and my baby girl wanted to have a child. Walking out the door, He said, and it fell on a day. God is faithful. I want to tell you this, if you're not saved, put your soul in the hands of God. Trust Him. Don't make this harder than it has to be. Listen, all He wants you to do is come under the unction of God and trust Him with your soul and say, Lord, save me. It's that simple. And for those of us that are already saved, I tell you what, when I get around y'all, my faith's strong. I'll get in tomorrow. I may be one of these old me, Lord. Those of us that are saved have this confidence. He's faithful. He's faithful. You know what? I want to talk about a few of the promises that God has made us. The first one that I want to talk about, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let me ask you this, has God ever left you? Now, we're going to work on that. Has God ever left you? You say, well, there have been times I hadn't felt the Lord. I'll promise you this, it's never been because He left you, it's because you left Him. But it's like old Brother Rance King used to say, Danny, he'd say, you'll find the Lord wherever you left Him. He'll be waiting on you to come back. That's why we have the word repentance. So God has never left us. He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. He promised. You know what else He promised? In this world ye shall have tribulation. Now, our soul's going to get out of here unscathed. But our body and our emotions ain't. I'm going to say that again. Your emotions and your physical body ain't going to get out of this world unscathed. You're going to have tribulation. There are going to be times that try your patience. They're going to try your faith. But know this, God is faithful. Hang on. Hang on to your profession of faith. Hold it fast. You know what hold fast means? It don't mean just barely grip it. It means grab a hold of it. And with everything you've got, hold on. I'm talking to somebody this morning. God said something, promised you something. Grab a hold of that promise and hold it with everything you've got and trust Him. It'll come to pass. But my favorite promise, one of them, or maybe the, boy, I was going to say most favoritist. One of my most favorite. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, how many mansions were not, so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Is there anybody every now and then crack a eye to the eastern sky? He said He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. I tell you, every eye will behold Him, even them that pierced Him. One day Jesus is coming back in glory and we're going home. I'll close. I want to thank you for your patience this morning. I want to close. For he is faithful that promised. God has made so many wonderful promises to us, and He has never failed. This ain't going to be the right. He's never failed in area one. Stand to your feet this morning. Over the years, you can come get us a song. Over the years, there have been a lot of men and women that have left this walk of life that God had promised something to. Men and women that prayed for their grandchildren and great-grandchildren that they never saw on this side, that God said, "I'm going to bless your generation. I'm going to save your grandchildren." And they never saw it. But boy, I tell you what, God was faithful anyway. This morning, I want to tell you, He's faithful. Some of us have been praying for some over several years to be saved. And I just keep, this is what I keep hearing, just hold on, hold on, be patient. And the Scripture tells us, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This morning, I hope God has spoke to you. He's faithful. Hold fast. Just hang on just a little more, little further. Home is in sight, y'all. It really is. Listen, if you've never been saved and you never trusted Him with your soul salvation, boy, it should be a good morning for you to just come and break and say, "Lord, I'm just going to trust you." And let me say this, when the Lord saved me, there was this wonderful feeling when the burden left and the wonderful feeling when the Spirit came in. And I'm going to tell you, that's what I'm trusting. I'm trusting that for my soul's salvation for eternity. If you don't have that, you can. What you got, Steve? 373. 373.